हरि ओ
True rasa is not available upon the material plane. It is of the spiritual world. Right? So here we're saying of this material plane, that's material consciousness. It doesn't mean that down in here, within the external manifestation, that one can't deal with rasa. You just can't deal with true rasa on the material platform. Right? Just like what we're seeing is in rasa, shanta rasa, it's non-interactive. It's just an appreciation. Right? Does that make sense? So Rupa Goswami is basically saying, means these five primary rasas are there, but it's actually the dynamic aspect of rasa starts at dasya. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So it's dependent on nishkam?
Well, you have the nishkam, of course, but then there's the element of interaction. Mm. So there it has the nishkam, but not the interaction. So it's touching on, it's like rasa. It is rasa, but it's not what we call real rasa. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
In this rasa, what would be his activities? If he's just appreciating, he sees
it. That's it, he appreciates.
No activities.
Yeah, they talk about what they appreciate. Like that. But there's not any, service is not in the way of interaction. You understand? So in the same way as the material world, on the platform of anamoy, you know, because you're dealing with the senses and everything, then basically it doesn't matter if it's a thing or a person, it's only an instrument to get done what you want. So it's not about the person. It's not about, you know, your relationship with your car or your iPod. I mean, you may like it and this and that, but it's just, it gets done what you want. So the self-centered person, people are the same. Just so they're kind of interactive and can go get something, right? You know, the iPhone can't get you something out of the refrigerator, you know? Does that make sense? But it's otherwise, it's just, it's the same thing. Does that make sense? So all it is then you extend that to, you don't mind others getting that same experience. Right? I have a self-centered experience and I'm willing to work with others so everybody can get a self-centered experience. Right? So when we say extended sense gratification, but the point is that it's still, everybody should be able to enjoy. Right? But it's not connected to the Lord, so it doesn't have that aspect of real rasa. It's not about that sacrifice and doing something for the other's pleasure. There is that's why I say it's like rasa. So it has those elements, those feelings and all that, but ultimately it's not actually for that. So only on the devotional platform is there actually rasa. So rasa with the Lord, rasa with the devotees, that's real. But anything else is not. As the jiva is chitkana, a spark of spiritual energy, rasa manifests within his consciousness. Right? Because he's chit, so he's spiritual energy. So therefore, then within his consciousness, because chit means the consciousness. So there's rasa manifest. Rasa appears only in deep bhakti samadhi, devotional meditation. So we're talking here is real. You know what I'm saying? The kids out in the backyard are getting some leaves and this and that, and they're making all kinds of things, right? You know, strawberry juice and strawberry kitchery and strawberry sandwiches and everything strawberry, right? But, you know, and they sit around and they put stuff on their plate and, you know, a whole pile of grass and stuff like that. And they're all sitting there, nice, this, that, but are they actually eating?
Hopefully not.
Yeah, but I'm saying in reality. It means we're talking about, well, actually I should be more specific here. We're talking, because I mentioned strawberry, we're talking about girls here. So you don't have to worry. They're not eating. If it was boys, maybe you have to worry about it. Like Krishna's eating mud. You don't hear Radharani's eating mud. Okay, sorry about that. I didn't give the full context. Yeah, needed more detail to make your decision, right? So then, the point is not real, but in their minds, it's all happening. They see the whole thing, you know, the whole, you know, living room is there, the whole kitchen, all the whole party, everything's going on. Right? But so that's what is here. Everybody's seeing that. Oh, isn't this great? Yeah, it's all, well, same thing. So it's not actually, so real starts when it's spiritual. Right? Like that. You know, just like an imitation looks just like it. Like, I forget where it was. We were in, I think, Vienna. And as you go through, because Vienna is one of those old, really established, you know, you talk about it everywhere and that, but only old people live there, all the young people moving out. So it's pretty empty, the place. Right? So only tourists are walking through. So you go down, and as you're walking through, you have the groups of how you say, they're not actually from Italy, right? And they're there, and they put out a little rug, and they got all these bags there, right? They're all imitation. You know, whatever you want, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, everything is there. You know, it's all there, happening. You know, 10, 20 bucks. You know, you can get yourself a Louis Vuitton bag. You know, it's all happening, right? It looks real, and everything. Someone who knows though can tell it's not. But for the common person, it looks real. So that's the thing. The material rasa looks real. But someone who understands rasa understands rasa only begins when they're spiritual. So that's what I say. And then that's where it begins. And then it's like full when it's deep bhakti samadhi. Right? Then that's what we're calling rasa. Anything before that is not. Right?
We can call it a sentiment or something like that.
There's some kind of, there's feelings and everything, but it's just not full. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the kid has this little car, right? And he pushes it around. Like that, right? Like that. And then the dad has a car. So what do you call that little thing that the kid has? You understand? But the point is means it's that, well, it's sentiment, it's almost there. No, it's just a little dinky toy. Okay. So that's the point, is the material world, rasa on the material platform is just a toy, it's a game. Right? And the problem is that people don't even know the line, so it's not even a good game. Does that make sense? You know.
That's why Prabhupada says that line, give up all this nonsense.
Give up all this nonsense, yeah. Yeah, because it's not real. Like that, yes.
So then there is a doubt, then as Arjuna had in Bhagavad Gita, we don't have the real rasa, but that rasa is tasteless, you know, the material rasa, and then we just fall in between. Then how we, you know.
No, because you have an understanding of that. Because now you're dealing with devotees, so that aspect that's on the devotional platform, that's real. That part that's not real. But we make it into real, just like we were saying, the kids, they make it real. I said this section's going to be tough. Because the point is to get into the next level of understanding rasa, one has to understand that there isn't rasa here. Because otherwise, the sahajyas, they take that and reverse that. Because we do the activities like there, therefore that's rasa.
It's not real.
It's not real. That's why this approach is going in. Because he hasn't brought this up before. Right? Because you would think he brings this up right at the beginning. No, this brings it up if we want to get into the reality. Because before it's the sadhana, because the point is sadhana bhakti is real. But the point is why we're giving these examples is that the drop of water is, you know, from the ocean is ocean water, but is it an ocean? Right? So, rasa is the same thing. But when we're talking about Vaikuntha rasa, which is actual rasa, that's what's satisfying the soul, that's the nature of the soul, that's only on the spiritual platform. While within the material world, working on the same mechanics, exactly, is the Swargiya rasa, which is rasa, you know, it means that the spiritual plants, which means emotional and, you know, the more noble qualities, like that. And then there's Partiva rasa, which just means sense gratification. But the principle of ashray, vishay, and all the aspects of the bhavas, it all works exactly the same. You know, it means that, you know, for the kid, you know, the alambana is the cookie jar, you know, or seeing his bicycle, or looking out the window and seeing friends playing, right? And then that sparks that rasa. You know what I'm saying? And then there's all kinds of, you know, how you say, anubhavas, you know, like that, he gets excited, or, you know, like things like that, he makes all kinds of stupid sounds, you know, he runs around like a madman, you know, there's all these different things like that, you know? Is that so? It's the same mechanics, but it's just that what you're getting from it is only a drop compared to the ocean. So if these mechanics are applied on, you know, how you say, on the spiritual platform, what you get from them is so much more. You know, it's just like we take two tin cans and a string, right? You know, and you pull it tight, you can hear. You know, but how is the acoustic quality? You know, if we bring in a sound engineer, how will he rate it? You know, understand? And then he's got, you know, the microphones and the headphones that he'll say, now this is real sound. Does that make sense? So someone who knows rasa, they will say, it's okay, it's sound, it's rasa, but real rasa is this. That's why he says true rasa. He doesn't say it's not rasa. He just says it's not true rasa. Does that make sense? You know, just that we don't want to be left out. What do you mean? No, I'm tasting rasa, and then there'll be better rasa. You know, it's like, no, your tasting is not very good. You know, that's what he's saying. It's like the kids out in the backyard, you know, eating, you know, mud and doing the whole thing and like that. And then the mom gives him sandesh. Okay, that's better. Yes.
Why did Prabhupada have to take prasadam alone?
Why did Prabhupada take prasadam alone? How does that? I mean,
you mentioned this Vaikuntha rasa.
Vaikuntha. See, it's like this: taking prasadam is a delicate thing. For the Westerners, it's not necessarily so much. Therefore, you can, you know, can sit out on a sidewalk with people walking by, looking at what you're eating and doing and all that, and it's a very considered, you know. You know, very elegant. You know, it's like that. You know, in the summertime, you know, have to, like that. But so the problem is that there's so many elements there of eating, the tasting, the interacting with others, and that. Because if you didn't eat alone, what would everybody else be doing? Would they be eating? He probably, if you go into a program, he's eating. Everybody else is eating. He doesn't have a problem with that because everybody's eating. But if Prabhupada's just eating, he's at the temple, then what's everybody else going to be doing? Staring. You know? So it's not going to be about, you know, why at that time? You know, what are they going to talk about? You know, okay, we'll talk about service and all that. You know, that's no, but service is taking prasad. You know what I'm saying? So what will be the conversation? What can you do? So therefore you take prasad alone. That something? Yeah. Yes.
For the rasa, in order to understand and adjust to the rasa, we need to develop a mentality applied to Madhya Madhikari.
Basically, from the Madhyam platform, it's understandable. right? So now that's the thing, is we look at it from that platform. So whether it's just understanding or whether it's there's realization, doesn't matter. That's the platform to look at it from. Because the Naishkarmya is how rasa works. Right? Because we're worried, okay, I'm not, well, what am I going to get from this? But that's the point, is rasa doesn't start there. Rasa starts, so what's the other person going to get out of that? And seeing them happy, that makes you happy. That's why Prabhupada gives the example, the closest thing to actual love in the material world is the mother for the child. Because there's very much that element of just when the kid's there, when they're happy, they're not crying, you know, they're comfortable, the mother's happy. You know what I'm saying? So that aspect is taken. So, you know, because if we mention that, that's where we'll stop. We don't stop at the reason she's so, you know, happy that the child is smiling is because otherwise it's been crying for the last 2 hours and she's going nuts. You know, so when it stops crying, that's good. You know? You understand? But but at the same time, there's also that actual desiring that the child's for the child's welfare. You understand? So that's saying that's the closest you get. So that aspect will say is very nice, very noble. Everybody on the planet will appreciate my mother. You know? Like that. Maybe they have a relationship with the father or not. Maybe they have brothers and sisters. Maybe that. But everybody is their mom. You know, like that. It's means now it's getting less. I mean, you're getting more of the elements. They don't know what that means, or there's not a. But, you know, previously that was common. Right? So now if that element of that sacrifice, working for the other's benefit, only trying to see that they're happy. Now if you just take that and put that on the spiritual platform, you know, because it's not the body, because she's caring for the body. It's her body caring for the child's body. But the problem is that she's not the body and the child's not actually the body, the souls. So now if you're dealing in that way on the platform of the souls, you understand? Now you're talking. Now we're getting somewhere. Does that make sense? You know, it's like if we meet and I start talking to your chudder. You know? It's nice, okay, it's kind of directed in our direction, but, you know, reality is when they talk to you. You understand? Yeah. So that's the problem, is that since everything's Krishna, we're not dealing with it connected to Krishna. So then that problem comes up, is that we're not actually getting the taste. But it's like it's taste compared to whatever's, you know, in other words, something of less non-taste is better than something of more non-taste. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, if it has no taste, it's better than something with a bad taste. You know? Does that make sense? And something with less bad taste is better than something of more bad taste. Does that make sense?
Like Indian apples.
Yeah. Yeah, but within that, then the cooking apples are actually the better ones. You know, the ones in the West they don't eat? Those are the good ones in India. Because I'm not sure. I don't think they use sawdust to make them. Like that. The other ones that make the sawdust. Like that. Yes.
When Arjuna understood when Arjuna understood that others are souls, and when he was fighting after Krishna's instruction, he had that rasa to the vira rasa, like that.
Means there's the element that there, you have the aspect, but the rasa there is with Krishna. Like that. The other is this, you're dealing with your swargiya rasa with the other kshatriyas. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what you can do within the material world is deal with partiva rasa and swargiya rasa, right? The sensual and the emotional platform. That's all you get here. And so the point is how do you know what to get? How do you know how to deal? Because it's a mechanics. You do a certain thing, you get that response. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, you hand the wife some flowers and you get a smile. If you hand her a nice titanium carburetor, you know, do you get a smile? No. Okay. You know, you already come home and big smiley face and you hand her a spark plug. What's this? That's a spark plug out of, you know, what is his name? I'm getting all the Schwartzes messed up. Schumacher, right? You know, Schumacher's Ferrari and that. You know, isn't that great? She said, yeah, okay, nice. No?
Did you bring the cauliflower?
Yes, that's the whole point. Yeah, you understand? It doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing, is you have to know what goes with what. That's why the Shastra gives what are the duties of everybody, how to deal, right? We just go, oh, so many restrictions. But like when we went through Manu, nobody generally picks up the social implications of what this means by dealing in this way. That's the basis that the Swargiya Rasa will be there. If you don't, then you'll endeavor for the Partiva Rasa, right? Just for the senses. And then even that, if you want to deal on the sensual platform, there's still mechanics that make it work. But we don't want to follow those either. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Pretty dire.
Yeah. Yeah. I take it the band's from your side of the country. Okay. So the idea is you're following that, that's all you can get, and at the same time is that's the best you can get. So if you're looking for rasa within the material world, the only actual way to get it is by following the rules that Krishna gives. But at the same time is why only get that out of it since it's temporary. Do that with the idea to please Krishna. So you're performing your duties to please Krishna. So therefore Arjuna is tasting that chivalry rasa with the other kshatriyas, but he's doing it to please Krishna. So he gets an eternal benefit from it rather than just that temporary manifestation. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. One gets both at once. One doesn't have to worry that it's not there, because we're worried that what's going on here, that is rasa. But the point is you'll get that. You know, the thing is if that's connected to Krishna, then you get more than that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's so.
Tomorrow, it seems to get the same principle as Kachina Bahisat, who just fruity bhakti, then he's drawn to the devotional service.
Yes.
So you're having this material rasa, and then even if you follow the rules, you understand that there is clear and better manifestation to the spiritual rasa.
Yes, yes. So that may be in the beginning we do it because I'll get more out of it. But at some point is how you get more out of it is because you're focusing on the other person getting the benefit. Right? In other words, you will get the most benefit, but you get the most benefit by not worrying about your benefit. That's the thing. We want to be able to worry about our benefit and get the full benefit. But it doesn't work. Right? I get the full... Where does the benefit come from? Of course, ultimately. But let's say in interaction, where does your benefit, in an interaction, where does your benefit come from? From the other person, right? Now, the feminine nature works on the principle of justice, right? How much you do is what you'll get. Right? Does that make sense? So, if you only put in a little bit, how much will you get back? A little bit. If you give 100%, what do you get back? 100%. So if everybody's working 100% for the other person's benefit, that means everybody will experience 100%. You understand? That's the way it works. But we're thinking, no, I'll get 100%, but I'll only put in 50%. And 50%, that's pretty fair. Right? You know? That's why Vrindavan is so special. It's 100%. That's why it's clear and clear rasa, right? It's the most intense because it's 100%, right? Liberation means it's spiritual, it's connected to Krishna, but your own consideration, there's something there, But, you know, it works for Vaikuntha because it's on reverence and things like that. But it's not 100%. You know? It's 100% on that platform of pure devotional service. It's 100% pure devotional service. It's just not 100% pure unalloyed devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Because you'll see, the, you know, Ramanuja and others say you have to fully surrender. You do. Right? And then there's fully surrender. So fully surrender means everything's connected to the Lord. But pure unalloyed means that everything's connected to the Lord only for the Lord's pleasure.
So that's the maximum of this principle.
Yes, it's a maximum of this principle. So the point is if just by taking that step it becomes so good. Does that make sense? You know, you make a whole story out of somebody's one act of, you know, noble act. And so then you have to have all leading up to it, and then this and that and all the details, and then there's the thing, and then you have a conclusion. So if one act is worth, you know, going on so much. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it. So the spiritual platform is, the Vedic platform is based on doing everything nobly, you know? But the spiritual platform means you're actually doing it sincerely for Krishna's pleasure, right? A pious person knows if I act piously, I will gain. So that there's impetus for that, right? The impious person doesn't have the knowledge or doesn't understand it or realize it. Right, so they don't act piously. But for the devotee, he's acting simply to please the Lord. Does that work? Does this make sense? Are we all, does that work there? So what's missing? What's the part that's not quite there?
I don't know. It just seems that the more we study the rasa, the less we experience it, and it's kind of frustrating.
No, you look at it the same thing, because you can relate to all these things we're discussing, because we're relating to them on the platform of Partiva and Swargiya rasa. So we're dealing with rasa. All we're saying is, like, what we're experiencing here is small. Like, the little kids are perfectly fine with the toy cars. They're completely absorbed, completely happy. It's the adults that say they're only playing with cars. But for the kids, it's not, wow, we're only playing with cars. You understand? So within the material world, everybody's happy playing with the little toy cars. And but someone from the spiritual world is looking and going, well, true rasa is over here. Because it's potential. The kid likes to play with cars, right? When he grows up, will that transfer into big cars? Yeah, so the same thing is, so look at it this way. You got potential. Okay? Okay, yeah, okay. Now we're good? Now we're good. Okay. So that's why this is all being said, because the soul, this is the natural position for the soul to work at. You know? So we're saying it's not quite up to the standard. You know? That's... Does that make sense? Yeah.
As a mother, like, a lot of my time I spend cooking.
Right.
And when I'm cooking, I know I have the deities and I want to please Krishna, but a lot of reality is I'm trying to please my family, trying to please, like,
right.
My husband and I taking into consideration. So it's a little confusing. Like,
but why do that?
Like, it's pleasing Krishna if I am pleasing them? Or if
No.
Krishna, they'll be happy with what?
It's close. It means, why do that? Why are you trying to please the family?
Because
Sorry?
To make them happy.
But why do you want to see them happy? Okay, then you'll become happy. But who has defined this whole process of families and mom's cook? Right. So therefore, you can do that to please Krishna, because as a family member, and specifically within the family being the mom, so therefore, that's what you're supposed to do. You understand? So you're doing it because this is what Krishna would expect you to do.
So then it's okay to be cooking things that they like.
But why are you cooking the things that they like? You understand? You're not making the connection here. It's this or that. I'm just cooking for Krishna, and so therefore everybody else doesn't matter. I cook for everybody else. That's what I'm saying. Mode of passion is I'm doing my duties because I get benefit. It makes me happy. When I do my duties, because I found that by doing my duties, it gives the best result that the family's happy. When the family's happy, I'm happy. There's a sense of accomplishment, there's a sense of need, there's a sense of belonging, sense of identity, sense of security. Right? Okay. So, but the whole idea is that who has given that's the duties, that you get all that. But he's pleased by you doing your duty in connection to him. If you do your duty not connected to him, you get the pious results. You'll be happy, you'll get the security and all this and that, and then at one point you die, they all die, and then it's all over. Then you have a new family. And now you have to figure out that the last one liked more salt, this one doesn't like more salt. You know, so it's a whole trip. That's a connection. It means you're doing the duties because it makes you happy. You're not doing the duties because the duties make Krishna happy. It's not by doing my duties Krishna's happy. It's doing my duties to please Krishna makes Krishna happy.
Very good point.
Do you understand?
So if I do my duties when I'm cooking to please Krishna...
Yes, so that means you're pleasing him as a person according to his standards, but you're doing the family duties of that. It's like a train. Does a train work on two rails or one? You know, we're talking the rest, not Japan. Right? Right, so that means the spiritual and the material. Yudhishthira Maharaj is, as a devotee, doing everything to please Krishna at the same time he's doing his Kshatriya's duties. But he's doing those Kshatriya duties to please Krishna. Does that make sense? That's why we talk about duties and the mode of goodness and doing what you're supposed to. That's why Krishna is saying, perform your prescribed duties, right? So that means, in this case, you know, the mom, you know, with knowledge means you know it's not, I'm not the body, they're not the body, we're all servants of Krishna. Right? Plus the technique of cooking, of course. Right? Right? Then, without attachment, that you're not doing this because if I do this great, everybody will love me in the center of attention. And, you know what I'm saying? When you bring out the food, then, you know, everybody's standing up and cheering. You know, the fireworks are going like that. The bands are playing. And, you know, the whole thing like that. You know, and it's all in slow motion. Don't worry. Like that, you know, so, you know, the ticker tape, you know. And the amazing thing is there'll be so much of that confetti, but it won't get in your preparation, right? You know, it's worked out, you know, it's like that. They got ways. You know, it's why you put the camera, right, that it looks like it's falling there, but it's not, right? You know, so, right?
Nice.
Huh?
Nice.
Yeah, okay. The food or the arrangement? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You understand? So you're doing because this is what one's supposed to do. But the taste that you're looking for with your conditioning is satisfied by doing that. We have the conditioning, but the conditioning only works in this particular way. You do these things, you get that taste.
The taste for pleasing Krishna?
Why? Let's put it this way. The reason you got married, had a family, doing the whole thing, that's because you really, really, really wanted to please Krishna, right? It's just like, you know, it was just like a burning desire in the heart. You just had to please Krishna.
I know.
Yeah, okay. So the point is how are you going to get the results of that? You're doing that for the taste. We're conditioned to getting a taste through, you know, family and society and money and security and all these different things. That's what we've been doing for, you know, unlimited lifetimes, right? Like that. It means unless you got another three heads, then we'll take it that this is not your first lifetime. Okay? Okay? Yeah. So then... we're engaging that situation that we're in Krishna's service, right? But how is that in Krishna's service? You have the element of the direct, of just, okay, you're going to cook and offer that to Krishna. But at the same time is, we're in that situation, because you could be at the temple cooking for Krishna, but you're at home cooking for your family. Because there is that consideration also. So now the point is most devotees only that aspect of I cook it, offer to the deity, that part is directly connected to Krishna. And the indirect part, they don't even bother. So that's why it's such an extreme between the temple program and life at home.
But as you're at home, you can get it closer, like even in the midst of it, you can get closer by cooking.
Of course, that's the more direct, but the point is this whole indirect means, I guess it'll, yeah, means that the second half of next year is that, then this is all we're going to talk about. No, it means we'll talk about it now, but we've been talking about it all the time. The second canon of Bhagavatam is, what is there? Point is you have this dead matter called the mom. And you have this dead matter called the dad. And you have more dead matter called the kids. Okay? And all this dead matter is sitting around and having a great time. You know? Here's Papa Rock. Like that. Sorry, he's a little fat, you know. Cooking's good, though. Right? Okay, let's get it more, okay, shapely. Okay, here's the Mama Rock, right? Not too fat, okay? And then we're going to have, you know, the little baby walk, you know, like that. Okay, a little dirty, you know, he's been out playing in the dirt. Okay, now they're all sitting together and they're having a great time, right? Isn't it? The interaction, the dynamics, you know, all the things, everyone's saying the right thing, kid's submissive, you know, listens to his parents, you know, the parents have a good dynamic. Yeah, it's all going on, right? No, isn't it? Yeah? Yes?
Not really.
Well, what do you mean, not really? There's no soul to interact. So that means the bodies aren't what's interacting then. It's the souls that are interacting. But why did you marry your husband? He was such a great soul. Well, check that soul out. You know, so it's like Bhakti Jan, you know. It's got all the Satchitananda in all the right places. You understand? You married one of these. And who married these? This married. Your body made out of dead matter married your husband's body made out of dead matter. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, but you think this is real. Okay? How to make it real. Or at least how to at least make it workable. You follow the lines. So it's a drama. I don't care what anybody says. People stand up, freak out. No, but I want real. Real's in the spiritual world. I don't want a drama. That's all you're into. That's all you're doing. So the point is now, are we going with, you know, you're going with something, you know, out of upstate New York, you know, you just have a house, and like that, we kind of divide the house in half, you know, make the other half of the house into bleachers, and then we just put a glass wall there, or some of them don't bother with a glass wall. So you have the living room, you have the bedrooms, this and that. And so the people just kind of move around the house, and the actors just do whatever they're doing there. And the audience just sits there and watches. You know, of course, I think everybody needs to be a certain degree, you know, what's your name? There has to be a little bit of the Betty Crocker aspect in it, you know? Does that make sense?
No idea what you're talking about.
Some baking has to be there. Otherwise, this kind of drama doesn't work very good. Does that make more sense?
Yes.
Spice in the drama.
You kind of have to have this element added to it.
Rock?
No.
Dead matter?
No.
Just natural.
Stone.
Stone.
The past tense of stone is?
Stone.
Yes.
Oh, baked.
It's called baked. Oh, okay.
Wow.
That was a good one.
Okay. So moving on here. Yeah. So, like that, is that the kind of theater you want? Or something that people have actually gone through, they know their lines, they practice, they put in some tapasya to do this? Okay? Yeah. Means those living theaters and that, they're not getting Emmy and Tony, they're not getting any awards. Because it doesn't go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So those that really put in the effort, and what is it? They exactly do what they're supposed to do. They come on when they're supposed to, they go off, they say their lines, they interact, they make it as real as possible. And then the actors enjoy it, the audience enjoys it, everybody enjoys it. And then we're going to say, no, but I want real. But the thing is there is no real. You got Mom and Papa Rock here. That's what we're dealing with. But, oh, sorry, Baby Rock.
Yeah. Baby Rock.
Okay, two Baby Rocks. Okay. You know, does that work better? Does that make sense? So that means, now, where are you going to get the lines from? How do you know when to come off and off the stage? What is the drama? You know, is it a nice one? Is it, you know, is it one of these, you know, Greek tragedies where everybody dies, you know, or worse, the Chinese stuff, you know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is what do you want? So that's what the Vedas tell you. You know, you want Midsummer Night's Dream? Here are the lines. You want King Lear? Hey, you know, here's the lines, you know. Does that make sense? That's what the point is. So that's what the Shastra gives you. Shastra says, Mama Rock says this, you know, Papa Rock says this, Kid Rock says this. Huh? Teeny Bopper Rock says this, you know. Like that? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And you do it, it works. The point is you want a result, you want an experience. You follow the rules, you get the experience. You don't follow the rules, you don't get the experience. That's all. So the Vedas are simply telling you how to run the material drama of your life. But why not do that for Krishna? The lines are the same. Just now, Krishna has given the lines. So now you're saying to please him. You know, so we're saying you say the right lines not because you like acting and it pleases you. You're saying the right lines because it pleases the audience. Who's the audience? Krishna. Does this make some sense? So that's what we're trying to do. You know, that's what this section is there isn't the real rasa here. It looks like it. We do all the things. We get the taste, whatever we're used to. In fact, you follow this, you get better taste. But then there's the actual spiritual. So then there's the awakening of the others are souls and this and that, but we're in that capacity. These are the relationships. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, here's a spirit soul, but, you know, this one's playing this part. And there's a spirit soul, and they're playing that part. So you understand that they're people, but at the same time is you deal with them according to their part and your part. So that's why it's defined like that. Does that make sense? You know, King Lear comes on stage and the ladies of the court are there, and he goes, "Hi, girlfriends." You know, what are you going to think? Everyone stands up, walks out. Yeah, like that. You understand? That's why it says, do your duty, don't do someone else's. And nobody says, I always wanted to say that, you know. But does it work? So that's the point. People are fighting over that, no, I want to do all the parts. You know, whatever, because, you know, in each thing, everybody's got their line, you know, some special line. But there's always the egotistic person, they want to say all the lines. You can say all the stuff in between, but that main line, I want to say that. You understand? That's what's going on in the world today. That's the meaning of all, don't follow the Vedas, equality, everybody's rights, and this and that. It's just a complete insanity on stage. And then people wonder why aren't I getting any taste out of this? It's that simple. People say, no, there's more things. There isn't anything more, because the material rasa is a bunch of rocks. And you have to be not philosophical to say, no, but there's more. Because when it comes to rasa, there's nothing more than what's going on in these pages. There's not one person who says, no, it's more complicated, that even understands what's going on in these pages. You came back because you heard we put in another rock. So there were two baby rocks.
But I like that better.
Okay. Now we need a real small rock right here. Right there. Okay, there we go. Oops, a little dirty. Got it playing out in the sand. Yeah. Okay. Confirmed. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is the pious person, he's willing to perform his part because he knows that by performing my part well, then it'll go nicely, I will enjoy the acting, the audience will be happy, so they're going to applaud. Because you can't see the audience. All you know is that at the end, they start clapping. It's so much lights, you can hardly see them. But they're just the sound. Right? Right, isn't that? The roar of the grease paint, the smell of the crowd. Yeah, you know, yeah, the whole thing. So it's not you're interacting with the audience. You can't see them. Yeah.
Why those smart brahmanas who play their roles nicely, it's very dry?
It's very dry because they're not trying to please the audience. They're only trying to please themselves. So it's mechanically exact. Mm. You know, they got their Stanislavski down. But the problem is where's the feeling?
Yeah, autistic.
Yeah, something like that. You understand? Then, what we're saying is, okay, that's pious. Now the point is since it's a drama, why not do the drama to please Krishna? You know, Krishna is the, you know, he wrote the script. So now you're trying to please him by doing it nicely. Does that make sense? So you're cooking for Krishna as a person, but you're also cooking for the family as part of the drama of that's what you do in your position you're in. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because there's every chance that you're the lady this life, but that means it's because last life you were the man. Does that make sense? And then most people, they also were kids at some point. Though some adults are very happy that they were never kids, right? They weren't that stupid. Does that make sense? Right? So it's always changing. It's just what the roles are and everything. It's like musical chairs, right? Same drama, just, you know, who gets what part, that's all. Does that make sense?
I'll keep studying so I can get it right.
Sorry?
I'll keep studying so I can get it right.
Okay. Does that make sense? The reason, see, that generally we're dealing on the element of support, being supportive of all this, but the point is we are supportive of it, but the emphasis now is more on the unrealness of this, that it is just a drama. That's as good as it gets. So you can either have, since all it is a drama, you can either have a nice one or a not nice one. That's your choice. It's not, you don't have a choice of, no, I will have real material rasa. It doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'll have a real sand castle, you know, that we can live in and this and that, and it'll be very prestigious. And it's just a sand castle. You can have a real nice sand castle or a not so nice sand castle. That's all. There is no reality here. At the same time, as it exists, you're the wife, that's the husband, that's the kid, and that's the other kid. And all this kind of stuff is there, right? Where is he? Oh, there. Does that make sense? So that's the choice. We're in the material world. We're not the body. So then what do? You do your best with that body according to Shastra. You want to make up your own lines. It doesn't mean anybody else will like it. You know, are you a great playwright, this and that? No, Krishna writes the lines. The reason something comes out nicely is that commitment. It means, why are people, you know, they're still happy to hear about Romeo and Juliet? You know what I'm saying? What happens in most other romantic elements? Something goes wrong, and what? They break up. Right? So then it's in that, as good as it gets, is, well, they got back together. Here is two people willing to kill themselves out of the love they have for the other person. Okay, now that makes it, on one level, you could say, on the material platform, a bit more selfless. The intensity of it is so great that, you know, where you mentioned one of the bhavas is death. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's to that extreme. But, of course, it doesn't go so well with the conjugal element. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is that's how great it is. So that's why people are still talking about it. Right? That's why he's talking about it. Now, he just made it up. He's gotten this from different places. You know? Does that make sense? He's simply in their day, a modern writer. He simply writes plays that are of the contemporary scene, you know, based on some, you know, past facts. Right? But so he's writing on something that was before. Like, can you take a theme today where the guy is there, something happens, you know, and then his wife gets kidnapped, and then he goes halfway around the world, you know, and goes up against, you know, the biggest, you know, nastiest, and all this and that, and finally comes out at the end, you know, and they're riding off in a boat. Right? Why, it's always a boat, and it's always a trawler, right? It's not even like a luxury, like, it's a trawler, right? You know, some fishing boat, you know, stinky, you know, like that, you know, whatever, but they don't care, they love each other so much. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, why is it that these things are being chosen? Because they were, Krishna's given them. It's Krishna's lines. So to emulate Krishna's lines, the better they do it, the better it works out. Right? But the point is that example I gave, that's a few thousand years old. That's the Odyssey. Hmm? You understand? But it's still good today. You know, instead of going off in a boat, he goes off in his car, or better yet, his motorcycle. You know, and it better be a big motorcycle. It can't be a little, you know, like Honda 50 or something. You know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, so there's just these things. It has to be something. Why does it have to be? Why can't it be a Honda 50? Why does it have to be the 1200? Right? Because he's got to go off with power, chivalry. You know, he's going to win the girl. Right?
Can't sound like a lawnmower.
Yeah, no. But the fun part is because it's all about more the interaction. If it's a French movie, it could be a 50. You know what I'm saying? Because it's more about the subtler bobs rather than you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's for rugby. You know, that's not for romance.
But it still has to start first time, kind of like not working.
True, it would have to start first time. Yeah, yeah. No, but if it was more of a, you know, one of those, what do they call that? Existentialist, then it would take a few times to start. But it shouldn't start first time. Otherwise, material world's too good. You know, you get attached. You understand? So that's the thing, that there's something you expect. This kind of mentality has this kind of body. They say these kind of things. They're in this kind of situation. They dress in this way. They eat this way. They drive like this. They got this kind of dog. They live in this neighborhood, in this kind of house, with this kind of furniture. You know what I'm saying? And they pay people big money to work that all out. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the point. Who defined that? Did modern man define it? No. That's the thing. Modern man, God defined that. So it's all about, do we follow God's laws on social interaction or not? And then the more important is, do we do that to please God or not? So in other words, are we doing to please God, and what medium do we use? And do we address God? It means, in other words, I'm thinking, but isn't it, you know, like you said before, isn't it better just I do everything direct for Krishna? Yes, but the point is that's why you ask, why are you married? That's not very direct. That's indirect. That's considering the body. Right? But since we are in a body, you have to consider the body. So that means the direct and indirect. That's why in the Chaturshloki Krishna says, you have to see the direct and the indirect. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. 4:30 to 9, 9:30, direct. Then the rest of the day, it's indirect. Now, do we see the... And so we know the rules for the direct, right? Rupa Goswami gives them. Right? Rupa Goswami, the Pancharatra, Prabhupada explains that, how to put that all together. So we know that. But what's the indirect? Where are the rules for that? That's called Varnashram. Right? Does that make sense? The Vedic literatures, they give that. How to do those duties, so it's nice. Right? Because we're saying, chanting your japa, you shouldn't be falling asleep, you know, you should be trying to concentrate on the name, you should be trying to do it with that devotion, and, you know, those are the rules. So the same way as you have your job, you're supposed to do it, you're supposed to make profit, you're supposed to do it without bothering others, you're supposed to sell something of value, it's supposed to be fair price. Does that make sense? These are the rules. Where do they come from? They come from the Veda. Does that make sense? Don't want the kid alone. Yeah, so here. Papa Rock, Boy Rock, Mom Rock.
Our is me.
Huh?
Our is me.
Oh, okay.
Babushka must be there.
Yeah, okay. We'll put her on the top here, and then everybody else is like here. Okay.
Krishna.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Just add Krishna to the equation.
But then you can't use rocks. It's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the whole point is that we're trying to work this out, that we appreciate and understand that this is the way it is. So if we work with it, we don't have a problem. You know what I'm saying? Now let's say the person's not so comfortable in public. Right? And you tell them, okay, get up on the stage, say this line. What do they do? Like if somebody comes up to you and let's say we're setting up for a program and hands you a mic and they say, say something. What do you do?
One, two, one, two.
That's there. But many people, what should I say? You know, it's a whole, you know. Does that make sense? You don't know. But the person who is comfortable with acting, they act. They know it. They know it's not real. At least the ones that you can kind of live with. You know what I'm saying? If they think it's real, then you got a problem. You know, when I'm on the stage, I am weird. It's kind of like that. No, we got a problem here. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So they know it. That's why they're good at it. Okay, let's say we're on the, you know, on you know, they're playing a game. Right? Now, the person who knows it's a game, but they're going to play their best because they want their team to win. And if the other team does some good work, you know, okay, that was a good game. You guys played well. Or it's the ones, no, you know, we win, great, and we're better than you. You guys are scum. Or if we lost, you know, you guys are nonsense. Would you call him a sportsman? No. Why? Because he thinks it's real. That's his problem. He's too attached. Well, the other one, you'll say he's a real sportsman. He knows it's a game. You understand? Does this make sense? So that means the ones who are going to actually be good at playing the parts in their family and social life are the ones that know it's not real and they're playing the parts. And the ones that demand, no, it's real and that, they're the worst. They're the ones that you go, next. Because they were bad. Because it's all about themselves. They don't care for anybody else. They want it to be real. But it's not real. What do you want? It's called illusion and madness. So the whole point is devotees are enlightened. So they know it's not real. But they know that I have these attachments. They haven't gone away. So I play the part. And even if the attachments go away, then you have to do something for Krishna. So what's the problem in playing that part? You know what I'm saying? What's the problem with playing the housewife for Krishna? You know what I'm saying? It's not a problem. Right? Think about it. Dwarka. Okay? He himself had 16,108 wives. Right? Each had 10 kids. Right? So that's a million kids. Right? 1.6 million. Okay? Not bad. Okay? I don't have enough rocks here. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's that. And that's him. He's in the center. There are 1,028,000 acharyas or teachers for the gurukuls. That means there's 1,028,000 gurukuls in Dwarka. So that means there's a few kids there, right? And the general rule is an acharya takes on 12 students. Because 12 students, you don't need more management than you're already running your house to take care of them. When you go above 12, then you start that you actually have to be a good manager. And Brahmins aren't necessarily known to be great managers. You do have great managers, but you have ones that are not. So to make a system that works for everybody, it's not recommended to go beyond 12. Those that are good managers, like Vashishta, you know, or what's his name, Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was an emperor before. You know, Vishishta is the guru of kings. They have 10,000, right? But they know how to manage it. Okay, so even just taking 12, so that means you're taking 12, so that means over 12 million kids. Does that make sense? And that's the ones that are in Gurukul. Now, what about the ones that are too young for Gurukul? Right? So, now, but do you hear about all that? No, no. But the point is they're all in Dwarka, the spiritual world, all doing their service for Krishna. So there's kids and there's teachers, there's gurukuls, that means there's moms, and moms are cooking something, and this one likes more salt, this one likes more chili, that one likes more sour, this one doesn't like this, this one won't eat broccoli, that one hates raw tomatoes. You know, it's the whole gauntlet. Does that make sense? And you're doing good. You're working within the nuclear family. What about the one when there's, you know, there's 30 people in the house? Now that's serious. You know? So you have 15 different, you know, this one you take the doll out before you make the chance, that one you do after, that one you put an extra chance, and that's just the doll. Right? This one likes this kind of chapati, this one likes it fatter, this one likes it thinner, this one likes it more cooked, this one likes it less cooked. You know, one with ghee, one without ghee. No? Yes?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, all that's going on because these are what the rules say. So one plays one's part, and it's glorious. But one wants one to be out in the center of attention, the center of everybody and stuff like that, but that's not real. That's not where it's tasted. You know? So that's the whole idea, is that piety means you know who you are. Means in other words, you know what your body is, you know the situation the body's in, and you know how to play by the rules your part. That's pious. Anything else is not pious. Devotional means I do that to please Krishna. Otherwise, if I take an impious platform to please Krishna, nice, it's connected to Krishna, so that part's, it's good. But you're using inferior ingredients. Why would you use inferior ingredients for Krishna? You know, so it works out. So it's very, and it means, in other words, we're attached to the material, so you get the taste. But at the same time, you get the spiritual. But if it's that when you're in the temple, you're getting the spiritual, and when you're home, you're getting the material, then there may be a problem.
Schizophrenia?
Yeah, it's a bit, yeah, schizophrenic. And also, it's how many communities are strong? How many communities? You see them all there at the temple. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the problem. So, the Vedas give how to engage the home, the indirect, in the Lord's service. But it's indirect. It's not direct. It'll never be direct. But it's connected. Then, the taste you want, you get. At the same time, you become purified. Right? Prabhupada talks about that. If you take what your attachment and connect it to Krishna, then it becomes purified. But it's your attachment. You're getting the taste from the attachment, but it's being purified. So now, why again do we have to bring up prescribed duties? The performance of prescribed duties. Because then when you lose the taste in that, the tendency might be to give it up. Will think that that's renounced. No, but you have to keep doing it. Otherwise, how will the system run? So in other words, you have to perform your prescribed duties just to actually get the taste you're looking for, and you have to perform your prescribed duties even though you have no need for it, because that's your service, and others still have that taste. And so you have to do your duties. Does this make sense? Does this work? Okay. Works? Huh? For instance, okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
How does somebody respond whenever wife Rock comes over and says, "Oh, look how cute child, you know, baby Rock is," and how does?
But the point is, where does that cuteness come from? Cuteness is coming from where? Cuteness is going to where? Yes, sir. Yeah. That's the point, is that if the whole thing is family life is based on the interaction between husband and wife. That's where its basis is, right? So that means that principle of their attraction to the world, right? Their attachment to the world, their feelings that they feel, the verses that the marriage ceremony defines on how that works and connects it to Krishna. That means everything within the family thing also connects. The point is why are they cute? Because Krishna's cuteness. So it's his potency that makes it cute. So yes, cuteness is manifest there. Right? Because of the particular age, this, or that, come back in a few years, he won't be so cute. You know, so if something happens somewhere around 17, 19, everything goes square. Right? And then eventually it kind of rounds out a bit again. You know, you know, it's cute, and then it goes kind of a little funny, and then it gets okay. You know? Does that make sense? So it's just time. You know, that's what it mentions. All these different, the ages, the things, but that's why it's defined there. We see in Rasa, it's already defined by Krishna. So that's all it is. So therefore, it's Krishna's cuteness. How do you deal with Krishna in the form of cuteness? Right? So it's not your child. It means the rock is yours. Yes. But the point is that the rock acts cutely because of the potency of Krishna. Right, and that potency of Krishna is manifest there because there's a soul. That the soul wants to take part, so the soul gets the credit, but at the same time, Krishna gets the credit. So you have to give credit to both. So that's the difficulty. That's how we start off in the beginning. It's like, well, either Krishna gets the credit, or, you know, the family gets the credit. No, it's that both have to be getting the credit.
Can't leave Krishna out.
No, can't leave Krishna out, and can't keep him as secondary. In other words, Krishna's primary, and then next is the family. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Between two enlightened husband and wife, is that spiritual process?
Means if based on the element of Krishna, means that's running at the time, but at the same time as the other rasas also running. You know what I'm saying? But if it's connected to Krishna, it's been spiritualized. So yes, it is. But the point is the manifestation that it's manifesting through is temporary. It's not that because of that, then there'll be husband and wife in the spiritual world. That works in Vaikuntha, but not in Kaloka. Does that make sense? But it has to be on that platform. You can't just say it's on that platform. The point is the direct objects, which are Krishna, whether you're conscious of them or not, it's still Krishna. But the indirect is Krishna's potencies, but unless you recognize Krishna, he doesn't personally manifest. So you are dealing just with his energies. If you don't see him as internal, they are external. So if you see as Krishna, then you're dealing with Krishna and his internal potency. But you don't see it. You don't. That's the thing about the indirect. That's why Grihastha is considered in a respectable position, because he has the responsibility to connect all that indirect. He has to be conscious. So to that degree is conscious. To that degree is respectable. Does that make sense? Because that example you gave there, they're manifesting the element of companionship. Right? But we were talking here about the combination, with, you know, stronger on the Vatsalya, but something on the conjugal. You know what I'm saying? Because the Madhurya contains all these others. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, what you're talking about, on the platform you're talking about, it can happen earlier, but typically that's called vanaprastha. It can be cultivated right from the beginning, no problem at all. Like that. In fact, generally within the brahminical family circles, that's more common. Because they know what's going on. Like that. It's when you drop down into the others that there's more of a, somehow or another, taking it for real. But the Brahmins say no, it's just, that's their duty, they just do it. And they know it's not real. You know, in your typical trained Brahmin families, they know it. You know, so for the devotees, it's not dry, and as you mentioned, for the smartest, it is dry. Does that make sense? So this is a whole another cultural realm that generally is not well thought about. Everybody likes to talk about culture, but they don't talk about culture that Krishna gave. They talk about culture that they've made up in their own mind. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. Follow Krishna's culture. If you want to follow your own culture, good luck. How well is it working? How much of a community is there? You're from where?
Canada.
And which part of Canada?
Ottawa.
Okay. And is there a temple there? Well, Ottawa is the temple, or Ottawa is the state?
Ottawa is the
country. Oh, really? Really? We have a okay, so we have a temple in Ottawa. Cool. Right. No, it shows. It's probably if you're in Europe, probably most everybody in Europe knows the next country, the language, they know all about it. But somehow in America, it's too far north or south, you know nothing about it. You've heard of it.
Probably there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what to do?
Yeah, what to do? Okay. Okay. Those who have received the grace of Sri Gurudev and realize the distinction between Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, and Mr. Sattva, mixed goodness, are free from all doubts. Okay? So that's the point. If we can understand those who have received the grace of Sri Gurudev. So by the grace of the Lord, Guru and the Lord, one gets the understanding to tell the difference between the Shuddha Sattva Rasa and the mixed Sattva Rasa. Right? He doesn't bother with passion and ignorance rasa because they're not that. It means then, within rasa, that's really not rasa.
Yeah.
Right? What we're saying is that true rasa is Shuddha Sattva. Mm-hmm. Right? And then, you know, the rasa of the world, material rasa, is Mistra Sattva. Mm-hmm. So passion and ignorance don't even really get billing here. Mm-hmm. Right? They just don't really count. Does that make sense? Because I mean, what rasa are you getting? Yeah, it means all the secondary unpleasant and, you know, stuff like that. So they're free from all doubt. So they have no doubt. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They have no problem doing it. Right? Because you're here. Because it's the same principle. You're in the spiritual world. You have it. Means Mother Yashoda, what duties does she do? What duties does Mother Yashoda do? Huh?
Churns yogurt.
Churns yogurt? That's all.
Cooking.
Cooking. But I mean, what's the general category?
Parents.
Right, parent, right? The mother of the family. Right? So she sees the, you know, the running of the house, the cooking, the food, the clothes, ornaments, all that kind of stuff. Right? And Nanda Baba sees to, you know, the fields, the cows, the taxes, you know, all that kind of stuff. Protect the security. Like that. So that's what she does. You understand? What form is she in?
Female.
Okay, female. Younger, older?
Older.
Okay. And within that, what's her position? Senior, but the queen, right? Because her husband's the king. So it's not only her own family, but then all the families of Vrindavan. She has to kind of, you know, that she'll be concerned about. Understand? So, are those duties or not? Have you ever heard of her not performing these duties? Is there some pastime where she says, you know, give me a break, you know? Leans back, puts her, you know, puts her feet up on the table, gets out her lassi, you know, like this.
Mother showed at the spa.
Yeah, mother showed at the spa. Getting the rock treatment.
Yeah.
Huh? Breakfast in bed.
Yeah. You know, you understand? You don't hear of these things. Why not? Because Ras is not attained there. Right? So she's doing that. So what are we being asked to do here?
Do our duties.
Do our duties based on, but according to
our
conditioning, right? So we're in this body because of our desire, right? We have a certain kind of mentality, therefore we get a body that matches that. So because you have the mentality, you do the duties of that body. But we want to say, no, I'm not the body. But the point is the body is there only because you have that mentality. If you didn't have that mentality, you would not have that body. You know, that's all. It's simple. So now, for Mother Yashoda, why does she have that particular form?
The mentality
is parental rasa. She is attracted to being an ashraya and vatsalya rasa. So therefore, she has that form. You understand? When we say reflection, we mean reflection. It's exactly the same. So we're not asking anyone to do anything that they don't do in the spiritual world. The difference is by performing the duties here, that you get a very small amount of taste of rasa. But you have to have that principle of being willing to do it that way, because that's what they do in the spiritual world. So therefore you get so much more out of it. Right? In other words, that there's family, social scenes, economics, you know, food, this and that. That's not the problem. The problem is that it's not Vrindavan, you know, in the spiritual world. We're in the material world. You understand? Problem is not attachment. It's the problem is we're not attached to Krishna. It's not a problem we're cooking. We're not cooking for Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the thing. So when we say reflection, it's a reflection. So the point is therefore we bring the reflection in line. Now it's, you know, it's backwards and upside down. So we try to reverse that. But still, it never becomes the spiritual world. It becomes as good as, but it's never the same. Because you're dealing with inferior material. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have the person, you know, it's professional stage, they've been backstage, they did all their makeup, they did everything. You know, they come on stage, the lighting is there, costumes are there, it works. Okay, but let's say you're in the house and just somehow or another for, you know, some kind of get-together, spontaneously something comes up to do the drama. So what do? They grab whatever's around. The lighting doesn't change. The costume doesn't change, you know, but you get something that kind of, you know, will bring out your character. But you play the part. And everybody's happy. It works. It was the drama. But it was with inferior facilities. So that's the point. It is you can't say, no, it's exactly the same. It gives the same effect, but it's not the same thing. Does that make sense? One has to have the discrimination, have realized the distinction between Sudasattva, pure goodness, and Mistrasattva, mixed goodness. They're free from all doubts. It works. It's not a big deal. If one just accepts, it works. Let's say some calamity happens and the person doesn't accept that that's happened. Does life work well for them? No, if when they accept it, that's when it works. If you have a disease and you say, no, I'm not sick, can you do anything about it? No. So the point is when one's freed from doubts, one can do something. It works very, very nicely. Does that make sense? Or, yeah? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Goswami, very good, Vijay. That was that. That was the review. Okay, now we start on today's
class. Today's class.
Yes. Goswami, very good, Vijay. Your understanding is correct. Let me see if you know the relationship between Shuddha Sattva and Mistra Sattva. The answer to this question will dissipate many of your own doubts, opening the doors of your perception to a new truth. Vijaya offered prostrate obeisances to his spiritual master and began to speak with heartfelt humility. Gurudev, I will try my best to answer your question. Kindly correct me if I make any mistakes. Right, so now the training is such, now he is able to, you know, with direction, actually even understand and give the answers to his own questions. Right? But he needs that direction. He needs, still needs the mercy of Guru. Life being presupposes sata, existence, right? When existence, form, ability, and activity are present in any entity, that entity is designated as sattva. That state of existence, that is eternal, endless, ever fresh, perennial, unaffected by time, either past or future, and is infused with extraordinary wonder, is called Shuddha Sattva, right? In other words, so here they're taking sattva's existence. So then this bring out another, this brings out another interesting point. So one is not actually really existing until one's in goodness. Because the existence below that is substandard existence. In other words, goodness, you know, which is mixed goodness, is, you know, an okay material existence. Lower than that's basically animals, right? So it's not... Yeah. Right? Then, spiritual is Shuddha Sattva.
So this is spiritual.
Yes, what he's describing now. But he's saying one existence in that are present in any, in an entity, that entity is designated as sattva. That's, okay, that's sattva. That just means they're existing. Right now you have Shuddha Sattva and Mistra Sattva. Right? So are you existing purely on the spiritual platform or mixed with the material? Right? Anything begotten by the Shuddha Chit Shakti, pure spiritual energy, is Shuddha Sattva. Right? So that means if it's begotten by that, means it's based on that. You're doing it to please Krishna. That's why we're saying even the mundane elements within the day-to-day ordinary life of the devotee, or let's say the ordinary activities of a devotee. A devotee's life's never ordinary. But the ordinary activities, still, if it has been begotten by Shuddha Sattva, that idea how to please Krishna in this situation, how to connect it to Krishna, then it's spiritual. And if it's not, it's not. The Maya Shakti, that is the shadow representative of the Chit Shakti. Right? Because the shadow moves and does like the real one. It's controlled by the time factor. Right? Because you have to have movement. You have dead matter. How do you move dead matter? Time does that. Right? But in the spiritual world, it's not time. Because actually everybody is able to move. You have chit, so you can move. Sat, you exist. Chit, you have knowledge and can move. And Ananda, you can experience. But in the material world, you're moving dead matter. So dead matter doesn't move itself. And the soul is too small to move that much dead matter. Right? Does that make sense? You know. So therefore, it's time moves it. That's the potency. Movement is time. Right? So the Maya Shakti is the shadow representative of the Chik Shakti, is controlled by the time factor, which manifests the concepts of past, present, and future. Right? So due to that time, you think it's past, you think it's present, you think it's future. All it is whether it's manifest or not from the material energy. But the potency of the Lord that makes it work, that's eternal. Right? Does that make sense? You know, we talk about about something in the present time. And we talk about something 100 years ago or something 1,000 years ago. If it's the same kind of experience, you know, we're experiencing it at present. But our consciousness is actually in the past. You understand? So that's why it's the mode of ignorance. Because we're attached to that particular manifestation. But it wasn't that particular manifestation. Right? It's Krishna's potency. Krishna's potency is present now. So one who understands that is in the present. Right? So they're actually existing. So that's why that's sattva. Because when you're in the past or the future, you're not really existing. It means you are existing, but your consciousness is in another state. You're not in present, in connection with the present. Therefore, it's passion or ignorance. Is that so? So the experience doesn't come out. Okay. So that's why it says concepts of past, present, and future. Because the point is the potency that made that dead matter do that is still there today. So it isn't past. That's why it says in the spiritual world, there's no past, present, past or future. There's only present. But there's the concept of future and past. Right? You're going to meet Krishna, but Krishna's already there. You were with Krishna. You're still with Krishna. Right? Because it says, I will be with Krishna, but Krishna is his name. You're with Krishna now. So therefore, he's always present. His potencies are running out. The potencies don't go away. It's the manifestations of the potencies that change. Like that. So therefore, everything's eternal. Everything's Brahman. Yes. Okay. All the activities of the Maya Shakti take place within the domain of the time factor. They are created, have a beginning, and are thus stamped with Maya's creative quality of Raja, passion. Those same activities are also marked for destruction. Hence, they are also stamped with Maya's destructive quality of Tama, ignorance. Entities endowed with such qualities of existence are called Mistra Sattva. In contrast, Shuddha Sattva, Shuddha Jiva is Shuddha Sattva. His form, qualities, and actions are by nature and pure goodness. However, when the Shuddha Jiva is imprisoned by Maya, his pure energy is contaminated by Maya's illusion and potencies in the form of material bodies of Raja and Tama. Thus, the materially conditioned Jiva is said to be in the status of Mistra Sattva. Right? Because you can say, well, what about the present? But the point present is the time span of 1/11th of a second. So that means most of these means we're always in the present, but our consciousness is generally or is functioning in the past or future. Like that. So that's the drug. So that's why if you cultivate goodness, that's why it's so important, that's why it's pious. You get the best results from it. Because pure goodness, that's how the soul will act in its natural state. Right? So then acting within goodness within the material world, then that's in line with or in pursuance of the natural state of the jiva. But now whether you're doing that for that purpose, that's why the Shastras talks about the mode of goodness, activities of goodness, because that's the activities of the spiritual world. Right? Either in detail or in principle. In principle, always. But in detail, some details that are here aren't practiced there. Right? Because there's no need. But the principle always will be. Right? So then if you take that up, that element of goodness, then you're acting how the lifestyle you would be in the spiritual world. So this whole thing of trying to make it that the Vedic is just Indian. You know, it's just a social, you know, custom that came up in a particular geographic location of the world. That's a trick by Maya, that you just put it on another mundane plane. You know, so why Indian? Why not, you know, Vietnamese or something? Or stuff like that, right? You know, I mean, of all the Oriental countries, French like Vietnam, right? You know, because they had the mentality. They weren't, you know, the Asian, and, you know, so they could get into things, but not too far north that they get too, it gets too strange. You know, so still, you know, personal enough and, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so then, the thing is you get something where it's not a matter of that. No, it's something completely different. Because then if it's that, then why not American? You know what I'm saying? That's where the arguments lead. You know? So the whole point is no, it's from the spiritual world. It is the culture there. Just becomes formalized here because of the nature, because people don't want to follow it. You know? It means, how means, are there laws in normal society? Right? Now, but now people that don't want to follow the laws of that normal society, where are they placed? In prison. Now, there are laws in prison. Right? But those laws are overemphasized. Right? Because why? Because people don't want to follow them. So the Vedic culture is therefore given and so much prominence because people don't want to follow it. Because they're criminals. Does that make sense? So it's just natural. And you can say, why? You know, why do we have to follow this? Every criminal says so. You know? So it's normal. It's a standard mentality. But they're thinking, no, I'm new and unique. I'm intelligent. That's why I'm saying this. No, you're just, you know, a criminal. That's all. And so criminals always say that. But smart ones don't. When you're in the prison, you don't say, I don't care for the rules. You don't say that. Smart ones, you know, they play along. So not even a good criminal. But, you know, why does any of these criminals have to follow the rules? Let everyone be free. That's how they got there in the first place. Yeah, not smart. Okay. The Rock family is happy.
Flintstones.
Huh?
Flintstones,
yeah, okay. So we're taking Freddie's family or Barney's family?
Could be the Rockefellers.
The Rockefellers. Okay, well, there now. That's got a bit more status. I think people know less about them, but, you know, but yeah, a little bit more status. Guess we'll go with the Rockefellers. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Govind Prema.